We begin the Haftarah of Parshas Beshalach, which is a lengthy Haftarah. It really consists of two parts. The first is the story of the battle between the Jewish soldiers, the Jewish army, led by Barak ben Avinoam, under the leadership and direction of Devorah Isha Neviah. And then the second part of the Haftarah, which is really the size of a Haftarah unto itself, is the Shiras Devorah. And the obvious connections to the Parshas HaShavua seem to be twofold. Number one, the most obvious, the most glaring connection, is the Shiras Devorah and the Shiras Hayam, two songs of praise in reaction to victory of the Jewish army in battle against superior forces, against all odds. And the second obvious comparison between the two stories, that of the Parsha HaShavua and that of the Haftarah, is that in both the Parsha and in the Haftarah, there appears to have been a sense of helplessness and hopelessness in the leading up to the battle, which seemed to really be stacked against the Bnei Yisrael. All odds were against them. In the Parsha HaShavua, for example, the Bnei Yisrael cried out. They were at a loss. The Egyptian army is bearing down on them. They see no way out. The sea on one side, the Egyptian army, mighty Egyptian army, on the other side. And in the Haftarah of the week as well, although the Haftarah begins with the words Udevor Isha Neviah, which is Perek Dalad Pasuk Dalad, but to give us a sense of the context in which the Haftarah appears, we have to look back in the Navi just a few psukim before. Perek Dalad Pasuk Aleph through Pasuk Gimel. Doesn't make it into the Haftarah. That's already long enough as is. But the previous three psukim are critical because they set the stage for what the story of the Haftarah is all about. The Perek Dalad and Sefer Shoftim begins with Bnei Yisrael unfortunately having sinned. Ehud ben Gera, who was the previous leader and Shofet of Klal Yisrael, had died. And Pasuk Beis, we are told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sells them out, so to speak. God gives over the Jews to Yavin Melech Canaan, Yavin, the king of Canaan, and to his general, Sisera, who at the time was in a city called Charoshes HaGoyim. And the Navi describes, and this is the Pasuk that immediately precedes that beginning of our Haftarah, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. The Jews cry out to God. Why? Ki tisha meos rechev barzel lo. Because Sisera had the unimaginable 900 chariots made out of iron. Back in those days, a chariot made out of iron is like, you know, the most modern armored personnel carrier and most advanced tanks of today. That was an unheard of and seemingly insurmountable military force. Not just one, Rechev Barzel, 900 Rechev Barzel, and he had already oppressed Bnei Yisrael for 20 years. So you begin to sense the helplessness. 20 years under his oppression, 900 chariots of iron, seemingly insurmountable, an all-powerful army, and by Yitzaku Bnei Yisrael Hashem, God is on the receiving end of these cries of Klal Yisrael. The hopelessness and helplessness is very much sensed in this preceding pasuk that leads into the Haftarah, again reflecting the same as in Parshas Beshalach. The Jews having been persecuted as slaves for decades, more than a century plus, and now they see their oppressors bearing down on them, and they too cry out in hopelessness and helplessness, the very same stage in the Parshas HaShavua and in the Haftarah, in the Navi. And so now we turn to the beginning series of psukim in the Haftarah. We are introduced first to Devorah Isha Neviah, Devorah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidos. She was the Shofetess, the one who judged Bnei Yisrael at that time, the Navi tells us. And it was this combination of Shofet and Navi. In other words, she held both keys in her hands, so to speak. Sometimes there was a Navi and a Melech, two different roles filled by two different individuals. But Devorah was both. She was the Shofetess and she was the Neviah. She was just not just the prophet who conveyed God's word to the people, but she was also the final word in halacha, the decisor of all issues of doubt. And that itself is a remarkable statement. Devorah is, of course, counted amongst the seven Nevios that the Navi Megillah, that the Gemara Megillah names for us. that served Klal Yisrael throughout our history. And in Sefer, I believe it's called Sheva Nevios by Eliyahu Yadid, where he has a parak on each of the seven women who were Nevios for Klal Yisrael. So he quotes the Medrash, the Chazal, in Tana Devei Eliyahu, in Eliyahu Rabbah, Parsha Yud, where the Chazal, the Medrash, ask on this pasuk, Devar Isha Neviya, V'chi Mat Tiva Shal Devar She Shofta Es Yisrael, U'mesnabes Aleihem, what was it about her that she was capable to be the ruler of Klal Yisrael, the Navi for Klal Yisrael? That was obviously unusual for a woman to be in that position of power on both sides of the coin, Shofetes and Neviya. And even more so, the Medrash asks, Pinchas ben Elazar is there. This is during the time of Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen. You would have thought that if there was a manig, if there was a leader, that you would have expected to be the one in charge. It should have been the Kohen Gadol, who was Pinchas. Pinchas has already demonstrated his prowess, his initiative, his leadership by killing Kazbi Bas Tzur in the Chumash, in the description we read of in Parshas Balak, how he was the one who took charge to kill Zimri ben Salu, the prince of Shimon, and Kazbi Bas Tzur, the princess with whom he was having an illicit relationship with. So who would you expect to be the Navi and to be the leader of Klal Yisrael? Should have been Pinchas, the Medrash asks. And the Medrash responds by saying beautifully as follows, as if quoting the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Meir ani alai es hashamayim ve'es aretz. I guess it's the words of Eliyahu Navi, really, but he says, I give testimony, and I swear by the heavens and the earth, Bein Goy, Bein Yisrael, Bein Ish, Bein Isha, Bein Eved, Bein Shivcha. It could be a Jew, it could be a non-Jew, it could be a man, it could be a woman. Hakol lefi maisa she'osa. It all depends upon the individual's deeds, behavior, actions. Kach ruach hakodesh shore alav. Man or woman, it makes no difference, says the Navi, says the Medrash. The Ruach HaKodesh will depend upon the individual's deserving it, the individual's worthiness, the individual's actions. Therefore, Devar was such an individual in that position of prophecy. And the Navi then describes that she was sitting under the date tree, and this was in the area of Har Ephraim. And Rashi tells us that she was a wealthy woman, okay? Bnei Yisrael ascended to her for judgment. And Pasuk Vav tells us that she summons Barak ben Avinoam from Kedesh Naphtali. So she's in Har Ephraim. She's summoning Barak ben Avinoam to come down from the region of Naphtali. And she's going to give him instructions. But before we get to that, one other point to make here. The Medrash says that Devorah's husband was an Am Haaretz. Now, some of Farshim identify her husband as actually being Barak, even though he's named in the first pasuk of the Haftarah as Lapidos, but Barak and Lapidos are closely related. The Radak quotes this Chazal that Lapidos is Barak. Both have the connotation of flame, fire. But the Medrash says that her husband was an Am Haaretz, and she encouraged him to make the wicks to be taken to the Beis HaMikdash or to the Mishkan at that time in Shiloh. And she encourages him, you should involve yourself with upstanding individuals. You should be Zochet Olam Haba. So she is being described in the Medrash here, not just as the one who is deserving of her own to be a Neviya and to be a Shofetes, but she's someone who has that spiritual sensitivity for the spiritual growth of others. In this case, first and foremost, her husband. She wants her husband to be Zochet Olam Haba. And even though he's an Am Haaretz, apparently she didn't insist on marrying the best guy in Lakewood. She married an Am Haaretz. And what was her godless, the Medrash says? Her godless was that she was looking to just move him to the next rung in the ladder. Move him up one rung more. You can't learn. You're not Am Haaretz. You never sat in Kol and became the greatest lamdan in town. Fine. So take some wicks and go to the Mishkan and participate that way in joining with, the Medrash says, Anashim Kseirim. That's how you'll be Zocha to Olam Haba. And the Medrash cites this as a mila for Devorah, that her goal was to just promote each person spiritually to the next rung in the ladder. Whatever they were worthy of, capable of, that's what she was looking to do for them. Inspire and motivate each one to just be a little bit better in the Avodas Hashem. So see yourself, a remarkable individual, ruchnius-wise, Ruach HaKodesh, Nevi'ah, she had Nevu'ah, she was a Shofeta, she had vast Torah knowledge, obviously, to be a Shofeta, she had vast Torah knowledge. And her husband, Am Ha'aretz, but she's looking on his Madrega to inspire him just one step higher. So a remarkable, beautiful portrait painted by the Medrash here in Tanit Be'Elyo gives us a picture of who Devorah was and what it was about her that made her so prominent, so chashuv, so respected. And you can sense why all of Klal Yisrael is then is willing to come to her for advice. If she's looking to inspire each one from where they are, just, you know, go a little bit higher. Do this, do that. You'll be Zochet Olam Haba by just taking some books to the Mishkan. Of course, they could all relate to her. She wasn't talking above them, beyond them. She was relating to them as they were and giving them a little push further. So now then, back to the Navi. The Haftarah describes how she summons Barak ben Avinoam to come down from Naphtali's area of Eretz Yisrael. And she says to him, hasn't God of Israel commanded to go to Har Tavor and to draw to you 10,000 soldiers, 10,000 men from Naphtali and from Zvulun? And before I should point out that, obviously, having described that Sisera, the general, has 900 iron chariots, there's fear, there's terror. Who wants to face him on the battlefield? Nobody. And yet she's telling Barak to do the seemingly impossible. Convince 10,000 Jews, just 10,000, to join you in battle with Sisera. Seems like a suicide mission. But she assures him in Pasuk Zion that I will then draw down to you, to the valley of Kishon, Sisera, the general of Yavin, with his chariots and Hamono, his vast multitudes of soldiers, and yet Unasatiu Biadacha. But I will, now this is Devorah talking in the name of God, obviously, I will hand him over into your hand. So he's being assured of victory. Just take 10,000, confront the Hamon, the vast multitudes of Sisera and his 900 iron chariots, but not to worry. You will be victorious. And Apostle Ches, an interesting response. Instead of just saying, yes, I'll go, what does Barak say to her? Im telchi imi v'halachti. Not so fast. If you come, I'll go. Im lo telchi imi lo ilech. If you don't go, I won't go. Now, what is that all about? If you come, I'll come. If you don't come, I'm not coming. Is this a game? Is this, you know, if you put your neck out, I'll put my neck out, but if you're too scared to go, I'm not going myself. Is that what's going on? Is he too scared to go without her? What is this response? If you go, I'll go, but if you don't go, I'm not going. What is that all about? So the Malbim writes, Barak didn't doubt the prophecy that she had shared with him. He wasn't rejecting, rebelling, refusing. After all, you go against the Navi's word from God, that's a pretty serious violation here. Rather, what he says in that Malbim is as follows. He says, because she, Devorah, had told him, Barak, to convince 10,000 men, recruit 10,000 men, for what in their eyes would be a suicide mission. So for that reason, he said to her, they're not going to listen to me. They need to hear from you. You're the Navi. They have to hear from you directly. If you want me to successfully recruit 10,000 men, I'm willing to go, but I'm not going to be able to accomplish that. I need you to come. Because if they see you, they hear from you, that will be effective. That will be the effective recruiting tool. That's how it's going to work. Furthermore, says the Malbim, it's possible that because Devorah had told Barak that through Derech Nes, you're going to be victorious over the most mighty army at the time, Barak wanted the Zechus of Devorah to be there on the battlefield with him. He felt that his own merit would not be sufficient for this kind of nes. Only if you, he says to Devorah, if you come, then your zechus will be the source of our miraculous victory. Okay, so the mom gives those two suggestions as to what the reason for this strange request that Barak makes in reaction to Devorah's instructions is. And the Medrash, in fact, and this again, Eliyahu did say, cites this Medrash, the Medrash says that Barak had bitachon. He believed in her nevuah. And that's why the matter says, when we come to the Shiras Devorah, right after the victory is concluded in Perek Hey, Vatoshar Devora Uvarak Ben Avinom. The two of them sang together. In other words, he had an equal share in that Shira, because he had bitachon in the Nevuah. He had bitachon in Kadosh Baruch Hu. So his request to her, therefore, the Malbim is saying, is not because of lack of bitachon. It's saying, if you want me to recruit, I need them to see you. To fight, I'll go fight. I believe in this, I believe in the Nevuah, but I need them to see you to successfully recruit them. Okay, the Novena describes, of course, that she cautions him, so to speak. I'll go with you, in Pasuk Tes, Halocha Eilechimach, but be aware that the honor, the glory is not going to be yours, because God's going to give over Sisera in the hands of a woman, referring, of course, to the other heroine of the story, not just Devorah, but the other female heroine in the story is Ya'el Eshes Chever Hakeni. It's also a remarkable feature of the Haftarah. We have not one, but two heroines of the story who are really the ones leading the charge in so many different ways, and the ones who are the Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Moshiach Yisrael. And the Medrash again, the Talmud of Eliyahu Medrash, when speaking about why it was that Ya'el, the wife of Chever Hakeni, was the one who was Zocha to be the source of the Yeshua Hashem for Klal Yisrael, the Medrash says about Ya'el Eshes Chever Hakeni that she was an Isha Kshera. She was an upstanding woman. V'osa Ritzon Bayela Haisa. She did as her husband requested, and that's why she was Zocha to be the one who was Moshiach as Yisrael. Here's an interesting description of a second heroine of the story, Ya'el, who's referred to as Eshes Chever Hakeni. She's called an Isha Kshera. Doesn't seem like she was famous for, like Devorah, for judging, paskening, ruling. Isha Kshera because Osa Ritzon Baila. Now, perhaps, although Osa Ritzon Baila means she did as her husband wished, but there are those that interpret this phrase of Chazal, Isha Kshera Osa Ritzon Baila, perhaps along the lines of what we saw in the Medrash about Devorah before. Isha Kshera, the upstanding woman, is the one who is Osa Ritzon Baila. She creates what her husband is interested in. She is Osa, the Ratzon of her Baal. She is the one who generates. She's the one who creates what her husband wants to do. The same way we saw by Devorah. She encouraged her husband, you're not a learner. Okay, take the wicks, go to the Mishkan, go to the Mikdash, hang out with an Asham Ksherim. That will be your Chelik Olam Haba. An Isha Ksher is one who inspires her husband to go a step higher on the rung of the ladder of a Ruchnias of Avodas Hashem. Maybe in that sense as well, perhaps, Eshes Chever Hakeni, Oser Ritzon Baila. Again, this is maybe a bit of Alder Chadrush, perhaps a little bit, but the ability to inspire others to grow in their Avodas Hashem is perhaps the quality here that we're seeing again in Eshes Chever Hakeni in this reading of that phrase of the Medrash of Isha Kshera Osar Ritzon Baila. So in addition to, again, Devorah's own spiritual prowess and successes, but both she and Ya'el Eshes Chever Hakeni, their ability to inspire and motivate others in their Ruchnius as well. The Novi now, getting back to the Pesukim in Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Tes first describes how Devorah then travels with Barak to Kadesh. In Pasuk Yud, we find that Barak, he rallies people from Zvulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. 10,000 men come with him, as does Devorah. And then Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Pasuk describes how God set the scene for Yeshua Hashem ahead of time by telling us that Chever HaKeni, Chever, who was a Keni, that means he's a descendant of Yisro, he had set himself aside from Kayin, meaning the Bnei Chova of Chosin Moshe, the other descendants of Yisro. So Chever was a member of the Keni. He had been living with his fellow descendants of Yisro, of Chovav, but he decided to move himself apart and he pitched his tent somewhere else right near Kadesh, the Pasuk says. And we'll see later that this was critical for the story, obviously, because they were in position to then assist the Bnei Yisrael in dealing with Sisera. And in Pasuk Yud Beis, we're told that Sisera is informed that Barak has come up to Har Tavor, Mount Tavor. We actually saw mention of Har Tavor and Har Carmel in the previous Haftorah. And Pasuk Gimel, Sisera now gathers his 900 chariots of iron. Again, the emphasis on the intimidating force that he had at his command. He takes all the people with him from Chorosha Sagoyim, goes to Nachal Kishon. Devor then tells Barak, "Kum, get up," as if giving him that final pep talk, that inspiration, that moment of, here is the moment of action. Kizeh Hayom, this is the day. Asher Nasan Hashem es Sisera b'yadecha, that God has given Sisera over into your hands. She already told him before that God will give Sisera over to you. But now she's telling him, this is now the time. This is it. Sometimes we know that something's going to happen, but we fail to recognize that the moment is now. She already told him, Sisera will be given over to you. But she tells him again, Kum, get up. Now is the day. Now is the time. Zeh Hayom, this is it. Halo Hashem Yatzal Lefenecha, God has already emerged before you. And so Barak descends from Hatabar, his 10,000 men after him. And you see the contrast in the Psukim. Sisera, 900 iron chariots, Kol Ha'am Asher Ito, and Barak, 10,000 men behind him. But God has been Yatzal Lefenecha, God's ahead of him. And Pasuk Tezvav, sure enough, Vayaham Hashem Es Sisera, Be'es Kol HaRechav, Ve'es Kol HaMachane Lefi Chareb. That word Vayaham, familiar to us from Parshas Beshalach, that God takes the rechev of Sisera, and Matsudos translates this word to mean, you know, makes them confused, he shakes them up. And what happens? Sisera descends off his chariot, he flees on foot. So after the battle tide turns against him, Rashi says that they were falling by the sword to Sisera's, to Barak's soldiers. And so now as a result instead, Sisera descends from his chariot. He flees on foot from the scene of the battle. What happens? Navi tells us, Barak pursues the chariot. He pursues the fleeing soldiers. Every single one of the soldiers is killed by the sword, so says the Pasuk. And in Pasuk Yedzayin, we're told that Sisera is now off on his own. Seems he abandoned and deserted his soldiers. He's off on his own, and he flees to the tent of Ya'el Eshes Chevra Keni. And the Rabbi stresses that there had been a peace treaty between Yavin, the king of Canaan, and the family of Chevra HaKeni. And therefore, Sisera felt confident, approached them for assistance. And what does he do? As he's approaching the tent of Ya'el, she comes out to welcome him. Batetze Ya'el across Sisera. She comes out to welcome him. She's eager to invite him in. And she tells him the most respectful of terms, Sura Adoni, Sura Eli, Al Tira, turn in, my master, come to me, don't be afraid. She then turns off into her tent. She covers him, presumably, perhaps to hide him, maybe to keep him warm. He asks her to give him some water. He's thirsty. She gives him instead some milk, and then she covers him again. He instructs her to stand by the entrance of the tent. If somebody should approach you and ask you, is there any man here, and you should deny it, you should say no. And then the Navi describes how she takes in her hands a spike used to secure a tent into the earth. She takes a hammer. She approaches him very quietly. And he had been sleeping, says the Pasuk. And she hammers the spike into his head and then threw his head into the ground. Not the, peaceful way to end one's life, but he dies immediately. Okay, the Navi describes Barak then as pursuing Sisera. Ya'el, once again, the same words, Vateze Ya'el, this time Likraso. She goes out to greet Barak. She tells him, come in, I'm going to show you the man you're looking for. He comes in, he finds Sisera on the ground, the spike in his head. And the story of the battle concludes with Vayachna Elokim Bayamahu. God humbled or subdued on that day Yavin Melech Kanan Lifnei Bnei Yisrael. He humbled Yavin Melech Kanan. The reference to Vayachna seems to imply that there was a regrettable amount of gaiva that had been displayed by Yavin Melech Kanan beforehand, a regrettable amount of arrogance, that God now humbles them, humiliates them in the presence of Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael then gained the upper hand. The pasuk concludes Parak Dal by telling us over Yavin Melech Kanan. And fascinating ending to the battle story. We then segue into the Shiras Devora. Now, before doing that, just to introduce the Shiras Devora, Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz notes the Ramban, the end of last week's parsha, says something beautiful. He says that the purpose of all mitzvot, says Ramban, is to ensure that we believe in God. But listen to the words. V'kavanas kol ha-mitzvos she'na'amin be'elokeinu. The purpose of all the mitzvos is that we should believe in our God. V'noda elav shehu bra'anu. And thank him for creating us. V'hi kavanas ha-yitzira. That is the goal of creation. And here's the fascinating line of Ramban. She'ein lanu tam acher b'yitziyah harishona. There is no other reason for creation. Ve'ein el elyon chavetz b'tachtonim, and God has no desire of us except for sheyeda ha'adam, that man should know, v'yoda le'lokav, and thank his God, Shebra'o, who created him. The purpose, says Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz, that the Ramban is telling us of creation is all about giving hodah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. God wants us to acknowledge him as the source of our creation and to thank him. Acknowledge him and thank him. Acknowledge him and thank him. Namin belakenu v'noda elav shehu bra'anu. Yeda ha'adam v'yoda lelakav shebra'o. Acknowledge God and thank him. Well, if that's the case, then Shira, song, occupies such a significant role. Shira is all about hodah, giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu praise, giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu thanks, and that is the ikar of creation, says the Ramban in Parashas Bo. That's what the purpose of creation is all about, to acknowledge Kadosh Baruch Hu as source of creation, or in this case, as source of our salvation, and to give him thanks through Shira. That is the critical lesson of Shira. And that's why he says, we find that the Zohar tells us, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, that anyone who says the Shiras Hayam from Parshas B'Shalach, we say it every day in Pesukah Dezimra. And sadly, as I've often pointed out, because so often we're late to davening and we're playing catch up, so we end up jumping ahead just to catch up to Yishtabach, we end up skipping the very last paragraph or two before Yishtabach, which is the Shiras Hayam. Of all things to skip, Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Zohar says, whoever says Shiras Hayam b'simcha, mochilin lo akol avonosav, receives mechila for all of his averos. Saying Shiras Hayam, giving hodah to Kadosh Baruch Hu with simcha, is a source of mechila. I mentioned in the Mincha Ma'ariv today that the recital of Birchas HaMazon out loud with simcha and kavana is a segula for panasa. Again, Birchas HaMazon, a form of hodah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is quoted by the Chida. Giving hodah to Kadosh Baruch Hu with simcha is considered so, so significant. It's a form of shira. So just to touch upon, unfortunately, there's so many more psukim to go. I'll just pick upon a few psukim before we conclude. Navi describes Devorah and Barak ben Avinoam singing on that day, meaning immediately. You experience the Yeshua Hashem, react right away. It wasn't the next day. It wasn't a week later. It wasn't on the anniversary a year later. It was that day. Victory and immediately reaction. Shira, Bayamahu, on that day. Bifroa praos b'Yisrael. When there was punishment against Klal Yisrael, bad occurrences. Bad occurrences. Their enemies attacked them. Bisnadev am, when they then, Rashi says, took the initiative to do tshuva. Baruch Hashem. Give thanks to the Ribono Shel Olam for the Yeshuas Hashem. And what Sefer Mishpat Zozov notes beautifully is that the last phrase of this pasuk, Baruch Hashem, directing us to give Hodah to Kadosh Baruch Hu, is not just for the Behisnadev Am, for the fact that the pasuk says just beforehand that the Jews have taken the initiative to do tshuva, but it's also referring to the Befroa Pros B'Yisrael, to recognize that sometimes it's those unfortunate events that motivate tshuva, that then brings about Yeshuas Hashem. And we give Shira, we give Hodah to Kadosh Baruch Hu in retrospect for all of the process, for the entirety of the process that brought about tshuva, that brought about more dveikus, that brought about geula and Yeshua. That's one important lesson here from these psukim. In fact, Shari Tshuva in Shar Beis writes that when a person receives the Musar Hashem and improves his behavior, he should be besimcha, even over that which was Yisurim, because it brought about a tremendous benefit, he writes. And he should give Hodah to Kadosh Baruch Hu for the Yisurim, just as he does for the Hatzlacha. He quotes the psukim that we're familiar with. Kos Yeshuos Esa, when I raise the cup of salvation, B'Shem Hashem Ekra, I call out to give thanks to God. And at the same time, Tzara V'Yagon Emtza, even when I encounter sorrow and distress, B'Shem Hashem Ekra, I still once again call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That lesson is seen here in the pasuk here. Befroa Pros B'Yisrael, that's the enemy attacking, the misfortune. Besnadevam, that's the tshuva process, the Jews taking initiative to do tshuva. On both, Baruch Hashem, give Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the next pasuk describing Devorah calling out to the kings and to the princes. Anochi Lashem, I ascribe the miracle, the victory to God. When Klal Yisrael experiences a miraculous military victory, we have to first say before anything else, proclaim to everyone, to the Malachim, to the Rosnim, to the kings, to the princes, Anochi Lashem, this is to God. This is not IDF, this is not Barkman Avinom, this is not Devorah and her military strategy planning, this is Lashem. Anochi Ashira, I give song, Azamer, Lashem Elokei Yisrael, to God, I give the Hodah to God. Let's just jump ahead for a few moments, few psukim here. The psukim describe in Pasuk Vav, B'mei Shamgar ben Anas, B'mei Yael Chadlu Arachos, how the time came when people stopped frequenting the roads. Shamgar ben Anas was a judge of Israel, he's a shofet. Yael is, of course, Yael Eshes Chevra Keni. And Chadlu Arachos, people stopped traveling on the roads. Holchei Nesivos, Yelchu. And only individuals would travel the roads because they were afraid. Orchos HaKalkalos, they would travel via detours, secretly, in private, in hiding. They were afraid of the enemy. Chadlu Prazon B'Yisrael, Jews stopped being able to live in open cities because of the fear of the enemy. Chadelu, they ceased to exist. They couldn't live openly. They couldn't live securely anymore. So describing these two, in these two psukim, the fear of the enemy that was such a part of the Jewish people's lives in Israel. Ad shakamti Devorah shakamti em B'Yisrael. Until Devorah says, I, Devorah, stood up as an aim, as a mother, as a leader of Klal Yisrael. And here, truth is that Chazal criticized Devorah for what sounds like a little bit of gaiva here. That's why in Pasuk Yud Beis, Uri, Uri, Devorah, Uri, Uri, Dabri Shir. It seems that she had to, Rashi says, ask once again for Ruach HaKodesh. She seems to have lost it after having said that phrase that was critiqued by Chazal as being a little too much taking credit for herself. Ad shakamti Devorah, shakamti Em B'Yisrael. She lost the Ruach HaKodesh as a result. She has to now daven for it to return to her in Pasuk Yud Beis with Uri, Uri, Devorah, awaken Devorah, Uri, Uri, Dabri Shir, awaken and speak words of song. She was requesting the Ruach HaKodesh return to her. Just touch upon one or two more points here. And again, just jumping through the Shiras Hayam, the Shiras Dvar, I should say, really requires a far more deliberate and slow-paced pasuk-by-pasuk analysis. But just jump for a moment to the pasuk much later in the paragraph, in the parak. Pasuk Chaf Ches, for a moment. Just look at that pasuk, a famous pasuk for a reason I'll explain in a moment. Ba'ad ha'chalon nishkafa b'tziyabev eim sisra ba'ad ha'eshnav. After describing in the psukim that we skipped how the battle unfolded and how the enemy was treated to a terrible defeat, how Yalesh Chever Akeni came to the rescue by giving him milk and by taking this spike and by killing Sisera. After describing Sisera's death, the pasuk says in Chaf Ches, the mother of Sisera, who was the greatest general in the world, but his mother is standing by the window, awaiting his return, crying, sobbing. Madua boshesh rich balova, why is his chariot so delayed in returning? Why am I not hearing the galloping of his chariots, of his horses? And this, remarkably, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daflam and Gimel, Vatiyabev im Sisera, the mother of Sisera cried, is the source from which the Gemara says we derive the nature of the shofar blasts on Rosh Hashanah. When the Pasuk says, Yom Teruah Yihi Elochem, a day of shofar blasts, Targum says that means Yom Yebava. Teruah is translated in Aramaic as Yebava. Yebava, says the Gemara, is this word here in the Haftarah. Vatiyabev. She, the mother of Sisera, cried. And the Gemara cites the Machlokas. Well, what kind of crying was it? Was it the Shvarim crying or the Trua crying? Was it the short, can't catch your breath, hysterical sobs? Or was it the more groaning, moaning, Shvarim type sounds? And it's just a very puzzling association. Why would you think to connect the cries of the mother of the evil general Sisera with the sound of the shofar, the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah Yom Hadin? So the Mishpat Sozav suggests that perhaps the idea is as follows. Sisera was the most powerful man in the world. Everyone was quaking in his presence, under his iron heel, and in a moment, in a day's time, he suddenly went from the top of the world to utter humiliation, defeat, and death. A total, total upside-down transformation. And perhaps suggests Mishpat Sozav, the idea is that when it comes to tshuva, person lives through the course of the year thinking, sadly, so often, kochi v'atzim yadi, I'm so successful, I live life as I please, I do as I please, I pursue pleasures and taiva and gashmias, materialism. And it comes Yom Hadin, and suddenly we have to recognize that on our own we have nothing. We have nothing. On our own we're deserving of nothing. We beg a Kaddish Baruch Hu, as we humble ourselves on Yom HaDin, recognizing that we are so undeserving of what we thought we had accomplished or attained, and that ourselves we are so helpless, we beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu, almost in that same sense that Sisera and his prestige were suddenly trampled and destroyed, so too we walk into Yom HaDin. Perhaps we've been a little bit too arrogant ourselves leading up to Yom HaDin, and we are supposed to humble ourselves in that same manner. And finally, one last very famous pasuk, also just to conclude with, the very last pasuk in the Haftarah, pasuk Lamed Aleph, Kein yovdu kol eivecha Hashem, so too shall all your enemies perish, God, meaning perish, comma, talking to God. Your enemies, God, all your enemies should perish. Ve'ohavav, and those that love God, ketzeis Hashemesh b'gvuraso, should be as bright as the sun, the morning sun, shining even brighter and brighter as it reaches higher into the noon of the midday sky. And the Gemara here on this pasuk, ve'o'avav ketzeis hashamesh b'gvurasa, those that love God should be like the sun at its brightest moment. The Gemara Shabbos Peches Amud Beis tells us that this phrase, ve'o'avav ketzeis hashamesh b'gvurasa, those that love God are like the sun in its most brightest, most blazing, glorious moments. The Gemara says, who does this refer to? Those who love God, who are viewed as shining as bright as the sun. So the Gemara says, this refers to those who are ne'alavim ve'einam olvim, shomin cherpasam ve'ein meshivim. The ones who are, even when they're insulted, they don't insult in return. Even when they're embarrassed, they don't shame in return others. Osin me'ahava, they serve God out of love. Usmeichim b'yisurim. And even if life is difficult, they are nonetheless besimcha with whatever God decides should come upon them. These are the individuals that Chazal put on a pedestal as being the ones who are ketzeis hashemesh b'gvuraso, the ones who are shining as bright as the midday sun. Now, Sisera is a person who couldn't tolerate any insult. He couldn't overcome his taiva. But the Ovei Hashem are the true warriors, the ones who are able to restrain themselves, control themselves, discipline themselves, and even when there's Yisurim coming upon them, they're Ohev HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Smeichim nonetheless. Those who have complete control, willing to tolerate even embarrassment and shame, but they exercise complete discipline, those are the Ohev Hashem, where I could say Hashem Esh B'Gvurasa. We'll conclude here. As Hashem, we'll meet again next week.